these last-minute communications as we pass up here. Oh, what do we talk about when she has her back to you and she's talking to me? Hey, it's nothing to worry about. It was just that I failed to recognize Mark's family that was here this evening. Wade and his wife, I'm sorry. Pardon?
Trish.
All right. Well, welcome. And where I heard you had to drive 4 hours to get here to see that man. You ought to feel pretty honored that somebody would drive 4 hours to come see you. You know that?
Eight hours.
Well, you mean forward and back again. 8 hours one way? Everybody look at me. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to open our hearts for what we have here this evening. That is our heart's desire, Father, that as we turn to Your Word, we're turning to a very familiar topic, but so critical. I pray that we would be challenged, encouraged, comforted as we review the old story. We never grow tired of hearing it, and we thank You that we have the record, and we just commit this to You in Your name. Amen. Andrew, for your message title there, for your little discs, this is just called They Remembered. Anybody know where we're going to be talking about? They Remembered. That one could go most anywhere, couldn't it? We've been currently looking at on Sunday evenings, some of the things remembered in Scripture. And tonight, we come to the account of one of the most crucial events which ever took place in history. What might that be? How about the events in Scripture that record for us that our Lord was no more dead, but that He was actually alive? The grave could not hold Him. He had conquered death, and He was alive. The resurrection of our Lord. Do you know, without that, there is no salvation message. True? Of course it's true. If our Lord was still laying in a grave somewhere, what good would it be to put our faith and trust in Him and encourage someone to turn to the Lord if we're just worshiping someone dead, but we're not? Our Lord lives. And we want to consider the truths of it, and we want to look at some things in connection with that tonight. You know, it comes as no surprise when we stop and think about this, that the truth of His resurrection has been attacked by the enemies of the Lord since the resurrection day. That is a scriptural statement. The resurrection of the Lord has been attacked, denied, since the day of His resurrection. And you know, there are still those this very day that do not believe it. They scoff at it. They say it never happened. He didn't really die. He had just kind of swooned. And when they put Him in that tomb, the cool dark surroundings, 3 days later, his body had gained enough strength, and he didn't really die. He just came out and continued with his life. That's one of the stories that they come up with. Our story begins in the book of Matthew, and our study tonight, we want to look at that right after the account of the Lord's burial. And we want to pay special attention to the action of those who hated the Lord. And here's why they hated so much. Because there was something they remembered. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. Let's begin at verse 62. This was a day after they had put him in the grave. It tells us in verse 62, "Now the next day, the day that followed the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver or imposter said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Get the picture. The unbelievers, the ones who hated Christ, they came to the government official Pilate by name, and they said, "We remember something he said." Isn't it interesting to consider that those who hated him most remembered his prediction about rising from the dead and acted accordingly, while those who loved him most were not expecting him to return at all in 3 days. Have you ever thought about that? His disciples on that third morning weren't looking for him to return, but the unbelievers, they remembered. They remembered and they said, "Sir, while that imposter was alive, we heard him say this, and we think something ought to be done to make sure the disciples cannot come and steal him out of the tomb and then go around spreading something which is going to be even far worse. A taller tale than the fact that he's going to rise in 3 days." So verse 66, Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch," means you've got men, you've got soldiers, you can stand guard. "Go your way and make it as sure as you can," it being that tomb that our Lord lay in that had that large stone rolled across the entryway. So they went. And they made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Men on guard. How could they seal the stone? Very simple, with something as common as what? Wax. They could seal it with something as easily obtained as wax at a certain spot that would hold the melted wax as it dripped and then cooled and adhered to both sides. And they could put a seal in that wax, and any movement whatsoever would break the seal, and they would be able to know that just what we thought, these disciples have come in. So they sealed the stone, and then they posted guards outside. And in these verses, we see, number one, for you note takers, we see their effort to prevent the event from happening. Their effort to prevent it from happening. The basis of their activity was there in verse 63. We remember, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise again. The basis of that activity was the teaching that they had heard. Go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. And it tells us here, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and what? And be raised again the third day. These were words which were not spoken in secret. It tells us that from that day on, when this was recorded and the events of it, Jesus began to talk about that to his disciples. And others were hearing what he was saying. Obviously, the chief priests, as we saw here, the Pharisees, they had heard it, as he previously had gone about speaking of this. Notice, if you would, in Mark chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Mark chapter 8, 31 and 32. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Notice this next statement. And he spake that openly. In other words, he was out in public. People were hearing him say that. He spoke that openly, that he would be killed, and after 3 days he was going to rise again. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, telling him, Lord, you shouldn't be saying these things. But Jesus was letting others know what was taking place, and the unbelieving ears were taking note of it. And after he was crucified, they came to Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember something that guy said." Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34. Luke 18, 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. They shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And we find here, the unbelievers had heard it. They thought that we better do something about it. And interestingly enough, his own did not comprehend what he was saying. They were not expecting him to return at all in 3 days' time. Why? The things were hid from them. For some reason, the Lord did not allow his own disciples to comprehend and understand what the chief priests and Pharisees heard and took to heart. Next, we pick up the story on the day of the resurrection itself to consider number two, their endeavor to discredit what had happened. We saw, first of all, their effort to prevent it from happening, and number two, we see their endeavor to discredit what had happened. We go back again to Matthew chapter 28 now. Matthew chapter 28. This was the resurrection morning. You see that at the beginning of chapter 28. End of the Sabbath began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Sunday morning. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulcher. There was an earthquake. The stone was rolled back. And we see that the ladies went to this tomb to look in there. And the angel said, "Fear not, I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come, look, see where he was laying." That same day, as the disciples were beginning to rejoice over the truth of the empty tomb and the words of the angels and realizing he really is alive, let's pick up our narrative at verse 11 to see the endeavor of the unbelievers to discredit what had happened. Now, when they were going, the disciples, to rejoice, behold, some of those who had been standing guard at the tomb came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they decided that they would give large sum of money unto the soldiers, saying, Here's what you say, verse 20 or verse 13. His disciples came by night and stole him away while you slept. Well, that's not a very good story. If you're standing guard, you don't want to admit something like that. They had their bases covered. Look at verse 14. And if this story comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and we will ensure your safety. We will secure your. We'll take care of the governor. So they took the money and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, until the time that Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote down the Gospel of Matthew. At that time, that story was still floating around among the Jews as Matthew wrote down the record. You see, the basis for all of their endeavors was that tomb is empty. They knew it. They knew what had happened was a miracle. They knew that the soldiers had not come. I mean, the disciples had come while they were asleep. They knew it. But you know, if you're not of the most honorable character, you don't have trouble coming up with stories, do you? Truth, what's that? Who cares about truth? And they devised a lie to try to establish an element of falsehood regarding the very truth that they were denying. So we see they came, reported it, and they came up with a very convincing story in verse 15. The disciples, here's how you explain the empty tomb. Quite simple. The disciples just broke into the tomb, stole his body, buried it somewhere else. Don't believe this story about Jesus being alive and raised from the dead. But man can try to deny it. He can try to ignore it. He has tried his best to distort the truth, but nothing can change the fact of the resurrection. Right? Yes. Thus we come, number three, to some evidence they could not suppress that it had happened. Some evidence they could not suppress that it actually had happened. What was it that they really could not suppress? They devised a story. They took money to spread it around, and the fact that the disciples came and stole him by night. But can you think of evidence that they could not suppress that would verify that Jesus actually was raised from the dead? Pardon? Eyewitness accounts. There you go. They hadn't counted on that. In Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To his apostles, to whom also he showed himself what? Alive after his passion. By just one story, one person, what's it say? Many infallible proofs being seen of his followers, what? 40 days after he had raised, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered first unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now listen. And that he was seen of Cephas. Who is that?
Peter.
And of the 12. After that, he was seen of above more than 500 believers all at once. And as Paul wrote this, he said, of that bunch, the greater part of that 500 number of people, they're still alive unto this very present moment. Some have died, but most of the 500 witnesses are still alive. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said, he was seen of me. I'm not even fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But he showed himself to me on the road to Damascus. You see, the unbelievers did everything they could to prevent this from happening because they believed. They had heard what he said, and they thought somehow, did they believe he was actually going to be raised from the dead? Certainly not. They had heard him say it, and they thought there's going to be a plot. His disciples, they'll try to make it look like he rose from the dead. And so they endeavored to discredit what had happened. On the resurrection day, when the tomb was empty, they came up with this false story. But there was one thing they had not counted on, and that is there's going to be eyewitnesses everywhere that are going to be spreading the news of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. All his claims, all his teaching, everything he claimed and promised that he could and would do, will he? How do we know we can believe that? Because he's alive. You know, as I sat looking at this material, I got to thinking about the references in the New Testament that just use the word raised from the dead. Look at the list I came up with. starting at Matthew chapter, the fact that the third day he's going to be raised again in Matthew chapter 16, and we read that, through 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And in the book of Acts, there's 15 or so. Romans, there's 8 or 10. 1 Corinthians 15, there's 10 or 12. That's not counting the other gospels or the other epistles. Beloved, if you have any doubts, turn to the Word. The unbelievers, they remembered what they had heard. And one day, it came to pass because he's truly who he said he is. We close with Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans chapter 1, and let's start verse 3, actually. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Now get this. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. He was declared to be the Son of God. Do you know, if you read the Gospels, that was one of the things that the religious leaders opposed him most on, excuse me, was concerning his claim to be the Son of God. What'd they call that? Blasphemy. But Paul said he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead confirmed his claim to being the Son of God. And the Father raised him from the dead to give evidence of that very truth. Have you received him as your own personal Savior? Well, I don't know if I can trust him. Yeah, you can. We don't serve a dead Savior. We don't worship one who's laying in some hidden tomb somewhere in the Holy Land, but we serve a risen Savior. And he came, gave his life for all who would receive him as their own personal Savior, confessing their sin and their need of the salvation that he came to provide. How do I know that he can really save me? Because he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Everything he claimed, you can believe. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer, shall we? We thank you, Father, for the evidence of that which mankind is reluctant to admit. We thank you for the simple truth. We've merely scratched the surface this evening. But we thank you for the account. We thank you that your Son lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can look for your soon return. Before you left, you promised your disciples you were going to prepare a place for them. And if you went to prepare a place for them, you would come again to receive us unto yourself. How do we know we can trust you? Because earlier you had said you're going to be killed and rise again in 3 days, and you did. And you spent time on earth Hundreds of witnesses saw you, fellowshipped with you. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming again. May these truths be a blessing and an encouragement to our hearts. And if any listening, even out over the internet, have never truly placed their faith and trust in the living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, help them see that salvation can be theirs even this moment if they would confess their sin and open their hearts and receive the gift of forgiveness and everlasting life that He died, was buried for, and rose again to provide. In your name we pray, amen.